You may be seated. I want to wish you all a happy Father's Day. Actually, you may all be seated. There's just a few verses here towards the end. It's such a great celebration. It's such a great honor to be together in the house of the Lord on this beautiful day. And yes, it's beautiful. It's a special gift to be a father, to be able to celebrate Father's Day together with your loved ones, together with your children. And here at Emmanuel Church, we believe in the family the way God intended it to be. One man, one woman, a husband and a wife, raising children for the kingdom of God. But for those of you who are parents, and even for you that are children, you know that parenting is not something easy. Kids don't come with an instruction manual. And each kid, whether you have one of them, whether you have twins, or whether you have triplets, or whether you have 12, they're each unique. And no matter how informed or how prepared you might be, they somehow still manage to surprise you. How can a parent parent their children? How can one even prepare for this stage of life, for those of you that are about to become parents? You know, for us as Christians, there's something that is very obvious, very clear of what it means, parenting. The Bible is God's word, the instruction manual that helps us and prepares us to be the parents that our children need us to be. Scripture is full of advice for parents, for both mothers and fathers. There's lots of good scripture verses. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Or Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 6, for fathers and mothers and families and children, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And many other verses that talk about parenting. On top of this, we have many examples, both good and not so good, about parenting. For example, we have Joseph, Jesus' early father, when he finds out that Mary, his betrothed, is pregnant. He's ready to leave her, but God speaks to him and says, no, you need to stay with her. You need to honor that covenant. And Joseph honors the Lord, marries Mary, and raises up Jesus as his own son. Or we have Eunice, Timothy's mother, who had a faith that was so contagious that her son grew up knowing the Lord. On the other hand, we have some not so good examples, like Eli the priest, who failed to parent or to restrain his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they became corrupt and they abused their priestly duties. Or we have Rebecca, who played favorites with her children. She favored Jacob over his twin brother Esau, even going as far as deceiving her husband Isaac to make sure that Jacob gets the blessing. And as I thought about parenting, even though my children are now adults, which is a thing that I never could have imagined that I'd get in this stage of life with my kids being adults, I asked myself, what do I need to be an effective parent, to be an effective father? And there's two things that are very clear of what I need and what has worked. First of all, it's prayer, and lots of prayer. And second, it's time in the Word of God. But last Sunday, as I was actually meditating on this question of parenting and how can I be a better father, the Lord impressed upon my heart how important it is to be a parent that is filled with the Spirit of God. You see, it's one thing to raise your child based on your own strengths, based on your own abilities. And it's another thing to raise your children when you are led by the Spirit of God. You see, when we try on our own, we falter, we make mistakes, and we sometimes seem to make things even worse. Families then will suffer, homes become broken, and many children carry the scars of failed parenting, of broken homes. But when we, as parents, are filled with the Spirit of God, we and our children benefit from the fruit of the Spirit. And that is what I want to talk to you about this morning, and that this message that the Lord put upon my heart, parenting, being filled with the Spirit of God, and looking at the fruit of the Spirit as the characteristic that we should have as parents, and not only parents, but children as well. And I've entitled my message this morning, The Heart of the Father. And I want to look at this passage out of Galatians that we know so well, out of Galatians 5, that talks about what are the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, which, as we should all know, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How do these impact our parenting? How should these be reflected in the way we parent our child, our children? First of all, I want to talk about love. You know, love may seem obvious that as a parent that's had kids, you had kids and you love your children. But I've seen it that love is not automatic. Actually, today in Washington State, there's a manhunt going on for a father who this week killed his 3 kids. Love is not automatic because love is not of this world. You see, love is not natural. Love is of God. The world tries to pervert the meaning of love by putting the focus on me, on oneself. But the love that comes from God is the highest form of love that is called here the agape love, that sacrificial love. And we've seen God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall have life. You know, as parents, we also should or have loved sacrificially. But what do we sacrifice? And at what expense? We've all heard the saying, and we've said it. You know, I've sacrificed so much for my children. When God gave his beloved son, Jesus, he did so that we may have everlasting life. Meaning that the reason God sacrificed is because he wanted to have an eternal relationship with you and me. You see, too often we sacrifice time with our children in exchange for the comforts and the pleasures and the promises of this world. But when in reality, the most important, the most precious thing that we have is the time that we have with our children. While we all have to provide for our family's needs, our kids will always want and need more of our time. Jesus himself knew the love of his Father and shared that with us. He tells us in John 15, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. This morning, if you want to experience true love, sacrificial love, come to Jesus. That love will never betray you, will always be there for you, will always strengthen you. And as parents, I encourage you today, make time to spend time with your children today. The second fruit of the Spirit, the second part of this, is joy. And the highest form of joy that we see in the Bible is the joy of salvation. We see it in the prayer of David, the prayer of repentance that David has in Psalm 51, where he says, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. You see, when you know that the grace that has been shown to you, when you truly deserved punishment and death for your sins, joy that your life now has meaning, has purpose, has a goal, joy that your life now has hope, joy that you can only have when you've repented of your sins, when you become unburdened from your past through the blood of Jesus. You see, when that joy doesn't exist in our lives and we try to parent, you know what the opposite is of that? Sadness, depression, bondage. And when we try to raise children out of that state of our heart, when you're not right with God, you can't lead them with joy. Your kids and many others will not want to be around you when you don't have joy. But you see, on the other hand, joy can be contagious. You can radiate the joy of your salvation in your home. When you know the grace that God showed you, you will also show grace and love to your children. If joy is missing in your life today, whether you are a parent or a child, you can find joy when you come to the cross, when you repent, when you let Jesus cleanse you and transform your life. He will restore joy in your families, in your homes. The third part of this is peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus told us and made us this promise in John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The world speaks a lot about peace. And today, with everything that's going on in the world, we need peace. We need peace in Israel. We need peace in America. We need peace in our homes and in our families. And having peace as the fruit of the Spirit in your home means that no matter what happens in the world, you find that peace in Jesus. As a parent, if you have peace, you don't instigate. You don't call to hate. You don't bring up anger. You don't bring up rebellion. You see, it's common for children to be scared. Sometimes they're scared of the darkness. They're scared of the unknown. They're scared of strangers. And they look to us as parents as that pillar of peace, that light of peace. But as parents, it's common for us to be worried, to be combative, to be tempered, and to even be aggressive at times. The peace that we're supposed to uphold in our homes, we allow it to be destroyed by the worries and the problems of the world. And unfortunately, this speaks volumes about where our faith as parents lies. Have we truly put our faith in Jesus Christ? Only then will we have true peace, the peace that our families and that our homes need. If you need peace in your home today, in your life today, come to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And I pray that this prayer is true for your family, as Paul writes to the Thessalonians. Now may the Lord of Peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The fourth part of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. You know, it's easy to lose your patience and to lose your cool, especially when your children just don't seem to get it the third time, nor the 10th time you've told them, don't do that, or do that, or don't do that. But we've seen in scriptures, the Old Testament, how patient God was with Israel, giving them chance after chance to repent of their sins, to turn from their evil ways. But there were consequences. They suffered the consequences of their idolatry. But God never stopped loving on Israel. See, only when you truly realize how patient God has been with you, each one of you, father, mother, only when you realize how merciful God has been with you, will you be able to show that patience in parenting. See, patience is not the same as being lenient or enabling bad behavior. Patience knows when to push, when to prod, when to pull back. And patience knows that the only solution at times is waiting in prayer for God to change the hearts of the rebellious and prodigal children. The fifth and sixth are kindness and goodness. You know, our children may think that we're kind and we're good to them when we give them gifts. But embodying kindness and goodness can be seen in our interactions with others, how we treat our neighbors, our friends, and in society in general. How do we treat others? Do we show respect, kindness to those around us? You see, when we teach our children that selfishness is never the answer, instead, helping others, sharing, and caring for those that are marginalized or forgotten by society, modeling and teaching our children what it means to serve others. That is kindness and goodness. And we as parents, we embody that kindness and goodness, because we realize that we are not owed anything. We owe it all to our Heavenly Father. When we realize that, when we live that out in our lives and we teach our children about what God has done, the kindness and goodness that he has shown towards us, as Paul writes to Titus in chapter 3, but when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and the regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Let us show kindness and goodness by serving others and teaching our families what it means to serve others. The seventh fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. You know, when it comes to faithfulness, our kids expect us and want us to keep our promises that we make to them. So many times, you know, I've told my kids, if you're good, I'll take you to Taco Bell. Okay, Taco Bell may not be the best place to take them, but, you know, it's an East Coast thing maybe. But too many times we promise our children that we'll be there for them, we'll do something, or we'll give them something. And unfortunately, kids don't always understand that, you know, emergencies happen, legitimate excuses do exist. But faithfulness isn't just about keeping your word to your children, but it's about keeping all your promises. It means being faithful to God in what God has called you to be and where to work and what to do for God. When problems come in your life and in your home, your faith is strengthened and it carries you. But it also means, especially as families, faithfulness means also be faithful to your spouse, to your husband, or to your wife. In a world that makes it so easy for us to end marriages, be the husband, be the wife that fights for your marriage. Be the ones that keep your marriage covenants and remain faithful to each other. Create an environment of love, of peace, and of problem solving, not of quitting. Remain faithful to what God has called you to be. The eighth and ninth fruit of the Spirit, gentleness and self-control. You see, children are a gift from God, we know that. But kids have a way of testing our patience. It's easy to lose your calm, your patience, and your self-control, especially when your children should know better, when they act up. Teaching children how to behave, how to make good choices, how to live godly lives is a full-time job. When they disobey, there are consequences. But some parents, in their desire, in the process of discipline, have lost their gentleness, have lost their self-control. And what should have been a simple spanking became abuse. What should have been a stern but loving word of correction instead became name-calling and diminishing and became hurtful. And as words you can never take back. In this matter, so many families have been broken because there was no love. Knowing what to say, when to say it, how to say it, means to be truly led by the Spirit of God. Now, some of us have had great experiences in our homes with our parents. Many have not. If today you are a parent, I encourage you to reach out to your children. And if needed, ask for forgiveness. We are all children. If you still have parents alive today, I encourage you to reach out to them, to love on them, to thank them, and if needed, offer forgiveness. But if you've never experienced the true heart of the Father, if you've never experienced the love of a Father, it's not too late. Today you can know the love of Jesus, the love of our Heavenly Father by coming to Him. But the only way to come to the Father is through the Son. His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is what we have. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. We thank God that we can now call Him our Father. We thank Him and honor Him for what He has done. And I've been listening to this worship song all week long. What he's done, all the glory and the honor to God. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I give praise only to God. And I pray that we will have here at Emmanuel strong families. Because strong families means a strong church. And I pray that it starts with me as a father, with us as fathers, as mothers, as parents, that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit may pour out in our families and over Emmanuel Church. And we believe the word of God. We believe that God is at work here at Emmanuel. We honor Him, our Heavenly Father, and we thank Him for the love, the mercy that He's shown us. Amen.